Daf is Daf Ayin Beis. Today's learning is sponsored by the Gluck family, Leon Ishbas Simcha Bas Ben Tzvi, and Rufur Shema for Brian Lele Bas Yehudis Ariella. So we got to four lines down. The Gemara said that they're not able to get, Klaisa wasn't able to get a bris mila in the midbar because they did not have this ruach tzonis, this northern wind, which somehow has had some medicinal benefits. It didn't blow at all, it wasn't there, present in the midbar. So Gemara now wants to know why not. Four lines down in Ayin Beis. My time, and why was there no ruach tzfonis? The Gemara gives two suggestions. Ibayis ema mishum dinizufim hayu. They were nizufim, which Rashi explains they were placed in excommunication. Why? Says Rashi, ibayis ema mishum dinizufim hayu mimaisa ha'egel lo hayu ruin la'or noga. They weren't zocha to have this or this special light, this special refuah, so they didn't have this ruach tzfonis. Now the Rishon asked the question, the Ramban among them, wait a second, didn't Klaisel, didn't they get mechila for the chayda egel? So therefore, Rishonim say it was really the chayda hameraglim, which is what prevented them from having the ruach tzfonis. The Meiri comes to the defense, and Rashi says, no, granted they had mechila for chayda egel, but still something, there's a little shemitz of something that always haunted Klaiso throughout the midbar, throughout the rest of all the generations. So that's why Rashi says it was really from the maisa egel. So the Gemara then gives a second suggestion, Ibais Ema, the lo nivdor ananya kavod, in order that the ananya kavod shouldn't disperse. This ruach tzfonis was so strong, it would have sent the ananya kavod away, so that's why they didn't have it. Now, the Ritva asks a question, well, couldn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu make a nace and protect it from it? He made the whole ananya kavod was a nace in the first place. So couldn't he protect it? So Ritva says HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not want to make that type of nace. Okay, he chose this nace, not that nace. But these are two reasons why the ruach tzfonis didn't come, either because they weren't zochet to it, or because it would have sent away the ananya kavod. So Gemara now says, Amar Reb Papa, Hilkach, therefore, Yoma de Eva, Yoma de Shusa, if it's a very cloudy day, or Yoma de Shusa, Rashi is a very strong southern wind that day, Lo Mahalinin Bey, Velo Mesuchrinin Bey. A person should not get a Mila, because he doesn't have that refuah of the Ruach, nor should one have Kazaz Dam on these days. However, the Gemara says, Ha'idna nowadays, the Dashu Bey Rabin, that many people ignore that. People have went through Milas and Hakazaz Dam, even though there's a Ruach Tzfonis, even though it was a cloudy day, in the end of the day, they show me Pesam Hashem, and therefore we trust HaKadosh Baruch Hu will protect us, and there's no concern for this. The Ritva writes here as well, the person happens to be personally scared because it's a cloudy day or there's no northern wind, he would have the right to push off a Mila for this reason. That's the suggestion of the Ritva. Fine. The Gemara now says, Tani Rabbanan, Kol Osan Arbam Shana Shayu Yiso B'Midbar, all 40 years while Klaisa went through the Midbar, Lo Haya Yom Shlo Nishba Baruach Tzfonis Bechatzi Laila. At least Chatzos, at least at midnight, there was no day that did not have the northern wind. The northern wind did blow, at least as Chatzos. Shenemar, it says in the Pasuk tells us, Vahi Bechatzi Laila, Vashem Hika, Kol Bechor Be'eretz Mitzrayim, goes on to say, My Tamud, what is the drasha? How do you know? Because Hashem had Makis Bacharus at Chatzos. Where is the indication that there's a Ruach Tzfonis? Kamash Blan, the Ace Raton Milsahi. That was an Ace Raton, so we need a bit of a Rashi to explain what's going on here. So Rashi says five narrow lines down, Ace Raton Milsahi. The Chavin, the Chatzos Halayla, Ace Raton Havi. Chatzos is a Ace Raton to daven for things. The Makis Bacharus to protect Klaiso of Makis Bacharus to punish Mitzrayim. Havinami Ace Ratzon L'Ruach Tzfonis. It also must be in Ace Ratzon to receive that northern wind. V'ein l'chayom sh'ruach tzfonis ein min ha'sheves bo b'chatzi alayla. There is no day where that northern wind doesn't come achatzos. V'zeh ha'yasimin l'David kinor talei bo l'mala mimitaso v'nikba klapei tzafon. That the way David HaMelech woke up at achatzos was he had this harp hanging, and when the wind would blow, it would play some sounds. V'chevin sh'yigia achatzos layla ruach tzfonis min ha'sheves bo minagin me'ilav. It would play music or some sounds on its own, v'hunar, he would wake up. So the v'hai denakit, so that's the inyan. Okay, so Gemara then says, Amar Rav Huna, Davar Torah, we're discussing a bit about Bris Mila, Davar Torah, Mashuch Ochel B'Tshuma. On a Torah level, a person has a Mila, yet is able to somehow pull the skin over to give the impression as if he doesn't have a Mila anymore. It's called Mashuch, Midaraisa, he's Mahul, he had a Bris Mila. But Midirabana, Midirayhem, Gazru Alav Mipnesha Nirak Aram. On a Dirabana level, they were gozer that this person who is called Mashuch now, he is a din of an Ariel on a Dirabana level and should not be eating tshuva. So the Gemara says, Mesivei, Mashuch Tarach Sheyimol. So a Mashuch requires a Mila, even though he really had a Mila when he was 8 days old. Now he is Mashuch, he needs a second Mila. So then he requires a Mila mid Dirabana. On a Dirabana level, he requires one. So what exactly is this question here? So, Rashi says, well, first before Rashi, Midirban, this is all Midirban. So it sounds like Midiraisa Mashuch tzarach shim yimol on a deraisa level. And it's Gemara, no, mid derabanan, only derabanan does he require mila. So it's not really a din deraisa, it's consistent. Ude karle, my karle, what was the shayla? Of course, there's only talking at derabanan level. Hatzarach katani. The Bryce says he requires one. Had Mashuch had a din of a deraisa, the Bryce should have said, Mashuch is ki ariel dummy. Ariel doesn't say ki ariel, it just says, you have to do it, you have to do a fix, which implies it's only a derabanan ariel, not a deraisa. So what was the shayla in the first place? Where he says, you're right. It wasn't really a shayla from that line. Mashuch tarach shimol is clear to only derabanan. The shayla really was on the seifa. Katai b'seifa. They had a mistake, a misunderstanding from the seifa, which says what? The Rabbi Yehuda Omer lo yimol mipnei shesakanehi. Lo, a person should not get a mila if he's a mashuch because it's dangerous for him. Because maybe says Rashi karashivcha, they might cut off too much and he might be endangered in that way. Amrulah, they say back to Rabbi Yehuda, v'lo harbu malu bimei ben kuziva, v'li dibanim banos, many people in times of a ben kuziva had such a mila, himol, imol afil mea pamim, a person could have multiple milas if he's mashuch multiple times. V'omer, it says further, as brisi hefer, the rabbi says a mashuch, the Torah tells us the double lashon of as brisi hefer is coming to include, even a mashuch requires a deraisa mila, a second mila. So my v'omer, what's the need to bring two psukim to prove the point that a mashuch does require mila? V'chitei mahai himal yimal is the rabbos tzitz and hamachmis a mila. Maybe the first drash is telling me that no, of course one needs a mila. But let's say there's some of the arla left over that's makiv a mila, you have to give a second mila to remove the tzitz and hamachmim. So therefore you need a second pasuk, tashma, as brisi hefer, the rabbos, even it's a mashuch, one who had a complete mila, but now is mashuch the skin whereby he appears as if he has another more arla, he has to now require a second one. So we see based on this, there's a din deraisa of giving a mila to one who's mashuch. So Gemara says, who savar midikanasiv lehashaskra deraisi? He thought the fact that they're bringing psukim to support that a mashuch requires mila, it must be it's a din deraisa against Rav Huna, who felt the deraisa a mashuch is really mahol, does not require mila. Gemara says, lohi, it's not true. This is all midirbanan, and the kra is a smach to ba'ama. So this is all consistent with Rav Huna, that on the Torah level, on a deraisa level, a mashuch doesn't require a mila, but on a derabanan level, he does require a mila. So Gemara asks the question, meisivet. Tumtum ein ochel b'truma. Tumtum is not allowed to eat truma. We're going to see in a bit, the Gemara is going to elaborate in a few lines from now, because he might be a zachar. And if he's a zachar, he's an arel. We don't know exactly what the gender is. You can't see, you can't differentiate. So Tumtum doesn't have a mila. He might be a girl, he might be a boy. And if he's a boy, he doesn't have a mila, he's an arel. So he can't eat truma. Nashav, we'll see what a nashav means, literally a wife. We'll see which wife it's referring to. Nashav, v'avadav, ochen, however his wife and his avadim may eat truma. Mashuch, the person was mahol, but now he's mashuch, or a case of nolad kushuhu mahol, he was born with a mila. Hare elu ochen, they're allowed to eat because they're not considered an aro. Androgynous, ochel b'chumin, androgynous, and Rashi points out androgynous who is mahol. Androgynous has both organs, so his aver, he is mahol, so he's allowed to eat a truma, because either he's an isha and he's fine, or he's an ish and he has a mila. So an androgynous can eat ochel b'chumah. V'ein ochel b'kachim, but he's not allowed to eat kachim. Why not? Because if he's a male, fine, he's allowed to eat. But a female cannot eat kachim. So since an adrogas might be a female, he can't eat kachim, but he may eat truma. So tumtum, eino ochel lo truma, v'lo kachim. So he can't eat a tumtum, can't eat truma, or kachim, either one he can't eat, because since a tumtum does have a mila, and since he might be a male, he's possible from eating truma and from eating kachim. Fine, that's the brice. So we'll elaborate just a little bit. Either way, what we're trying to draw from this brice is, in terms of mashuch, katani mihas, mashuch v'nolad kushumal hare elu ochlim. They're allowed to eat tiyufta dirvuna tiyufta, because dirvuna said that a mashuch may not eat truma on a dirabana level. This brice says a mashuch may eat truma even in dirabana, and he's allowed to eat truma. So this is tiyufta against dirvuna. Sounds like there is no psul of a mashuch at all. So now the Gemara wants to analyze what we just mentioned about a tumtum. Amar Mar, a tumtum, again, which is an individual which we cannot figure out whether he's a boy or a girl, unclear. So eino ochel b'chuma, he's not allowed to eat chuma. Nashava v'yavadav ochlin, so his wife and his avadav may eat chuma. So nashava l'tumtum minale. Where does he have a wife? How does a tumtum get married? So how do you even marry a wife? Elaim, if you're going to say the kadosh, she got married. So the tanya tumtum shekidesh kedushav kedushin. That if a tumtum were to get married, it's a good kedushin. If he plays the role of the male, so it's a good kedushin. If he's niskadesh, if he plays the role of the female, he receives a kedushin, a kedushav kedushin. It's also good. So Gemara says, okay, that makes sense that we view him or her as being married, regardless of whether he's playing the boy or the girl. But Amer, the Amar, the Chumar, that's only the Chumar that we view them as being married. He or she's an Ashes Ish. There's a Chumar, we say. But Lakula, to allow her to eat, or him, or her, to eat, whatever it is, to have the marriage, to eat Truma, Lakula, that's a cool to have them eat Truma. Me, I mean, will we let that happen? In other words, if a Tumtum is married to a Kohen, we don't say it's a good Kedushin whereby she could eat Truma anywhere. We don't know what she or he is. So how could you say a Tumtum is referring to his wife, that his wife could eat Truma? The Gemara said, only Chumar, but Lakula mi Amrinam. The Gemara says, Safek Isha, who we don't know if he or she's a woman. Vain Isha miskadeshes Isha. A woman cannot marry another woman. So you can't say the not Isha of a Tumtum may eat Truma. So what's the case? What does it mean? Nashava Amar Bai Kishabetav Nikars Mibuchutz. No, when you can recognize the male features are more prominent than the female features, so therefore we assume he's actually a boy, and that's when we say the Tumtum who marries a woman, it's a good Kedushin, and the wife may eat Truma. Rava gives another explanation. My Nashav, what does Nashav mean? It does not refer to the wife of a Tumtum, rather it refers to the Imo, the mother of the Tumtum. Because Imo, Pshita, of course. Why would the mother who's married to a Kohen be disqualified from eating Truma because she has a child who's a Tumtum? So Pshita. So Mal, the same, well, what would you have thought? Maybe Molid Machil, Shein Molid Enu Machil. We said before, let's say the woman loses her husband. If she's married to a Kohen, she eats Truma. If she has a child and loses her husband, she could continue to eat Truma because of her child. But maybe only if that child that she has is able to be molded, have further children, but a child who cannot have other children, maybe that would prevent the mother from eating Truma, because the Tumtum may not have, can't have children. That's just the mitzvahs of it. So, Kamash Shalom, that it's not totally at all with the status of the Tumtum being molded or not. If a mother who was once married to a Kohen has a child who's a Tumtum, she could continue to eat Truma as well. Okay. Gemara now says Tashma. Tumtum, eino ochel lo truma v'lo b'kachum. He said at the end of the brayis above that a tumtum may not eat truma, nor may this individual eat kachum either. The reason why is because maybe the tumtum is a zachar. We don't know what it is. And maybe it's a zachar that the male aver is hidden somewhere in the area. And since it didn't get a mila, it's considered arel, may not eat truma or kachum. So Bishma, I understand, according to Abaye's understanding, it's a case of Kishabetz of Nikars Mibuchutz, Tana Resha Ariel, Vadai, Vikatani Seifa, Safek Ariel. So the reason why we mentioned two times in this Raisa, first we say a Tumtum can eat Truma, that's referring to a Tumtum Vadai, whereas Vadai Ariel, we know for sure that he's a male because of Kishabetz of Bechutz, he certainly is possible from eating Truma and Kachim. And then they mention in the end, the second type of Tumtum, which is Safek, we don't have, there are none of the organs are recognizable, and even a Safek Ariel may not eat Truma. Elat L'Rava, Tumtum the Seif Olamli, according to Rava, who said that there's no two types of Tumtums, there's all one Tumtum. So why do we mention two times the Braisa? So the first time we say a Tumtum can eat Truma, and then the end we repeat a Tumtum can eat Truma and Kachum. Why repeat it two times? So my Tumtum, Ariel. So Tumtum is an Ariel. He doesn't have a Mila. So Hasha, Safik Ariel, Lo Achil. So if we're saying that the first case of the Braisa was a Safik Ariel, if he can eat Truma, Lo Achil, so Vade Ariel, Achil, we're going to suggest that maybe a Vade Ariel can eat Truma, meaning that why mention, once you mention Safik Ariel can eat Truma, Kavachomer, and Vade Ariel can't eat Truma either, so why mention it twice, two different cases? So Gemara answers, Ma Tam Kamar. The Seifa is explaining the Resha. In other words, Ma Tam Tumtum Eino Ochel B'Truma. Why did the Resha say that a Tumtum can't eat Truma? Bipnesha Safik Arahu, because a Tumtum is a Safik Arahu. We don't know if he's a boy or girl. And if he's a boy, he's an Arel. So it's a Safik Arel. The Arel Eino Ochel B'Truma V'Lo B'Kachim. And since an Arel Vadai can't eat Truma and Kachim, so a Safik Arel may not eat Truma and Kachim either. Okay, fine. So that ends the discussion of Tumtum for now. So now the Gemara says, let's go back to the discussion of Mashach. We said above, the Rav Huna said, Mashach Midiraisa is considered still Mahul, but Midirabanan, he requires a Mila, and we brought the Braisa that says no, that a Mashach is completely Mahul, even on a Dirabanan level. So Gemara wants to suggest, maybe it's a Machlokas, what is the status of a Mashach and Machlokas Tanayim? The last three lines, the Gemara says, Lema Ketanai, that Mashach is the Gershonis Gair Kishuma. We're going to list a few different cases, but our focus for now will be a Mashach. So again, if a Mashach or Gershon Iskaya Kishumal, in other words, he had a Mila as a non-Jew, and now he converted. The Katan Sha'avar Zmanu or Katan, who after the eighth day, the Shar Kohani Molin, or other types of people who require Mila, which is what? Lasuye Mi Sheish L'Shtei Arayis, person born with two foreskins, requires, these are all cases of people requiring a Mila. So the din is, all these individuals, Ein Nimolin El Bayom. You have to give a Mila during the daytime. It requires during the daytime. So a Mashach requires Bayom. We know Midaraisa, Bris Mila, of course, requires Bayom. So the fact that the Tanakhama says that one who's mashuch requires a second mila dafka bayom implies that in midiraisa there's a need for mila. But according to Rabbi Elazar Bar Shimon, Omer Bizmano, he says Bizmano ain nimalon ela bayom. Shelo Bizmano nimalon bayom uvalaylam. If it's the right time, meaning an eighth day, that's the only time you require bayom. But any other situation, you could have the mila bein bayom bein balayla, which says that even a mashuch could have balayla, telling us that mashuch does not have a din of mila bizmano. It's only the rabbanim. So that's the suggestion. So the Gemara says, "My la b'hakam mifugi." The Mar Saver mashuch is derais, and therefore only bayom works. And Mar Saver, according to Rebbe Elazar Shimon, requires a mashuch only the rabbanim, and therefore even balayla you could do it. So that was the initial suggestion. Now the Gemara says, "Tisver, does this really make sense?" Katan she'avrizmano, a katan she'avrizmano, mi'ikleman damar d'rabanan. One of the examples listed in the Braisa was a katan she'avrizmano, which means after the eighth day. So they said, the Gemara says, oh, he could do bein bayom bein balayla. That's a machlokas. Now, would anyone suggest a 10-day-old baby has a mila only d'rabanan? No, it's a d'raisa. It's just that it missed the eighth day for whatever reason. But it still has a requirement on a d'raisa level, and yet still there's a machlokas whether you do that dafka bayom or yom valayla. So that's no indication of that mashuch being deraisa or derabanan. So Gemara says you're right. Ela dechuli alma mashuch is only derabanan, like Rav Huna, and katan shavrizmano is certainly a deraisa. So what's the machlok is whether or not these situations can be done only by yom or even by laila. B'hacha b'hacha miflagi mar saver darshinun uvayom umar saver lo darshinun uvayom. The drasha uvayom says Rashi in the top here mar saver darshinun uvayom. The vav yisera, the extra vav, the matzi lemichtav bayom hishmina yimol v'ksiv uvayom, the extra vav, lasuya mila shlobezmano, to tell me that even a mila shlobezmano requires a dafka bayom. So that's the drasha according to Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, and the Tanakhama did not hold of the drasha of vav. Bayom only meant the eighth day requires bayom, bayom hashmini, but any day afterwards, any other situation, even balayla, would be permitted. That's the machlokes again about the letter vav. So Mar then says kiha similar to the discussion we have, kiyad the Yosef Rabbi Yochanan with Kedarish Nosar, bismano eno nitzav el bayom. If it's Nosar, the day after, the first day that Nosar becomes Nosar, the kachim becomes Nosar, you burn it dafka bayom. But shlo bismano, if it's delayed any day afterwards, it could be nitzav at bein bayom, bein balayla. The Eisivei Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yochanan, and on this drasha, Rabbi Elazar challenged Rabbi Yochanan, ainli ela nimal shmini, I only know the eighth day, shein nimal el bayom, the eighth day, Menayin Rabbos Letisha Lasar Lachadas Lashemasar. They also require that daytime only. The delayed in Bris Milas. Tamalomer Uvayom. The extra vav tells me the Joshua there as well. So the Gemara says Viafilu Leman Delo Darish Vav Vehe Darish. Even those who don't darshin an extra vav, they would darshin an extra vav in a hay from the word Viha Nosar. Vanosar is an extra drasha to include even a delayed nosar requires dafka bayom. So it's a similar machlokas to the extra vav by bayom hashmini. We have uva nosar as well. Vanosar also would be a similar discussion, but whether it's only bayom or even yom balayla. That's why Gemara brings this in. And now the Gemara says ishtik. He became quiet, nothing to say to this discussion. And Basa did nothing after he left. Amar le Rabbi Yochanan Leishlakish. Reisi, I saw leben pedas. One time he was sitting down, Ben Pedas, darshaning the Torah like Moshe Benu heard from HaKadosh Baruch Hu directly at Har Sinai. And Amar Levi Shlakish, the Dehi, was he darshaning his own Chidushim? Masisa, he was just darshaning Brises. He wasn't making his own Chidushim. Tehecha the Tanile, Betaras Kanim, he's learning Taras Kanim. He wasn't darshaning his own Chidushim. The Nafik Tanit Tzlasa, he went out to learn this idea three times at Taras Kanim. He taught three times at Taras Kanim. For Tlasi, he only spent 3 days studying Taras Kanim. Visavra, Tlasa Yarchin, spent 3 months studying the logic of it. I'm not sure exactly what that conversation is doing, but that's what the Gemara, how the Gemara ends this dialogue. Now take a look at the top toast here. It's a toast that appears also in Maseches Kedushim as follows. Ein nimal el bayom. We know Bris Mila only takes place during the daytime. Hiksha Rav Rabbeinu Ephraim. Damai itzrich perakam in the Kedushim. Osov la osa. We say that only a man is chayv in Mila, not a woman. The isha lo mechayv el mulas benah. She has no requirement of the mother to give the Mila to her son. So typically, David mitzvah asay, she has van grama. Why do you have to have a drasha? It's a time-bound mitzvah. I mean, we know women are patra from a time-bound mitzvah. But yom v'lo b'layla. The mahai time of patrin and isha mitzitzis. So that should be the reason why she's patra from giving her child a meal as well. Why do you need the drasha? Oso v'lo osa. So Tosus gives an answer, and a few answers brought in the Rishonim, but Tosus answers v'yesh lomar, d'le Rebbe Lazar b'Rebbe Shimon itzrich, and seen it for him, v'ha d'nimol shmona lo chashus van grama. Because he holds after the 8th day, it's no longer Zman Grama, Kevin de Mishmona, the Eilach Kol Shaita Zmanahu. Because according to him, only the 8th day requires Bayom. After that, it could be Bayom Uvalaila, it's continuous, and that's not called Zman Grama, according to Rabbi Shimon, and therefore you need the Drasha Oso for the Osan. Now, this becomes a big, big discussion. Those who want to inching Mari Makam, Rav Gusman has in Kuntris Yishirim and Kedushin, what exactly is the definition of Mitzvah Asay Shah Zman Grama? Some say Zman Grama means where the Zman is Gorim, it causes, it's triggered by Zman. Others say, no, nothing to do with the trigger, it has to do with when the Mitzvah is continuous, once it starts, is it continuous or are there bricks? So according to this, the fact that Tosa says that Rabbi Shimon holds that it's not Zman Grama, because he doesn't care about Zman Gorim. The 8th day triggers it. That's not the definition of Zman Grama. Zman Grama is, once it starts, is it continuous or not? And since it's continuous, that's not called Zman Grama. But other Rishon will argue and say, no, I don't care if it's continuous by Yom Balayla. The fact that there's an 8th day that triggers the mitzvah, that's considered Zman Grama. So that's a big machlokas in the Rishon.
So what do you say that woman needs
to say? Say it again?
You would say that woman needs to say.
It's only by Yom.
Right, but he holds, no, he doesn't.
He holds only that by only when it's continuous. Once it starts, it's continuous. The Mila is by Yom Valayla, but Tzitzis is only by Yom every day.
Because he holds that even by
Laila. Yeah, exactly. Fine. So then the Gemara says halfway down the page here. Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Elazar, Arel Shehiza Hazasa Kshera. If an Arel were to do the Hazah of Paraduma, take the waters and sprinkle them to somebody else, that would actually be an acceptable Hazah. Midi to have a Tivol Yom, no different than Tivol Yom, that we know that Tivol Yom is allowed as well. That's what the Sadukim felt Tivol Yom was possible from doing Hazah. We argued on them, and we Dafke actually chose a person who was a Tivol Yom. We made him Tame, went to the Mikvah before Shkia, just to go against the Sadukim. We allowed Tivol Yom to do Hazah. So just like a Tivol Yom could do a Hazah of the Paraduma, so too an Aro may do it as well. Sha'afapi, even though Shasar B'Truma, even though Tivol Yom may not eat Truma, it's Kasher B'Para. He's allowed to do, he's allowed to do Paraduma. So Gemara says, Mala Tivol Yom Shekein Motiv B'Maiser. So wait a second. There's a certain Kula that Tivol Yom has that Arel doesn't have. That Tivol Yom is allowed to eat Chuma, but a Arel cannot eat Chuma. So how could you say that this Kula should apply to the Arel as well by Hazah? Maybe there's a difference. So Gemara says, wait a second. How can you ask a question from eating Chuma? Atu anu l'achila kaminan, anu l'negiya kaminan. But we're not in the world of eating. Yes, in the world of Achila, in that group, yes, the Ariel may not eat Truma, and a Tivol Yom may eat Truma. But we're talking about Negiya, touching things, touching the Hazah, touching the Paraduma. So there's no connection between Negiya and Achila. So Gemara says, Ma Tivol Yom, she'aser b'Negiya, the Truma, the Tivol Yom may not touch Truma, yet he's mutter b'para, an Ariel who may touch Truma. She'muter b'Negiya, ain't no din she'muter b'para. So it's a very good Kavachomer now. Because actually, an Ariel, Lagabe Negiya, is more Mekel, that he does not disqualify, does not contaminate Truma. So certainly he doesn't disqualify the Paraduma as well. No different, no worse than the Tivol Yom. And Tani Nami Hach, the Baisa says that an Ariel, Shehiza, Hazaasa, Ksheir, it's a good Hazah. Umaisa, Hayav, Vechshiro, Vechachamim, Hazaasa, and accepted. So that's the way that we have. The Ariel is actually good. So Gemara now asks a question, Meisve. Tumtum, Shekidush, Kiddush Psulim. We're not talking about Kiddushin, we're talking about Kiddush of the waters for the Paraduma. So if he mixes together the Afer and the Mayim, that's called Kiddush. So if a Tumtum were to do this, Tumtum Shekidush Kiddusho, Pasol, it's disqualified. Mipneshu Safek Arel, the Arel Pasol Lakadish. Arel, Aravadai certainly cannot do the Kiddush. And a Tumtum also, since he's possibly an Arel, he may not do it either. Van Jogunus, however, an Jogunus who is Mahul, he has both organs, Andragas is Mahul, he Shekidush Kiddush of Kashrut actually is acceptable, because if he's a woman is allowed to do Kiddush according to Rabbanim. If he's a male, he's Mahul, if he's a male. So that's acceptable. Rabbi Huda Omer, Af Andragas Shekidush Kiddush Kiddush of Psulav, he felt that Andragas is no good. Why? Because there's a possibility, and Andragas is actually a female. Vishap Psula, Milakadish, and there's a machlokas between Rabbi Huda and Chacham, whether a woman could do it. Whether a woman could do the Kiddush. So according to Chachamim, women can. Therefore, an androgynous Mahul, either he's a male and Mahul, or he's a woman, either way, he's acceptable. And according to Yehuda, an Isha may not do it. So since this androgynous might be an Isha, his Kiddushav is no good either. Ketani Mias, however, we have from here, then Ariel, and the Suffolk Ariel, is Pasum the Kaddish. He cannot do this. So how come above we said that Rabbi Elazar felt an Ariel can do Hazah, and here we said he can't do the Kiddush? We're lumping together both Kiddush and Hazah. Anything related to Paraduma, either we accept them all or we don't accept them. So how come Rabbi Elazar above said we can't allow Ariel to do Hazal, but here we don't allow the Ariel to do the Kiddush? So Gemara says, no, Amar of Yosef, Haitana Tana de Beir Bikiva. This is a special din. This is the second brace that ushered it, that apostled it. Is Rabbi Kiva Shita, the Marbi Leila Ariel Katame. We saw the other day that he equates Tame to Ariel or Ariel to Tame. The Tane Rabbi Kiva Omer, Ish, from last week's Parsha, the Rabbi Sa Ariel. So he's the one who holds an Ariel can't do Kiddush, and he'd also hold an Ariel can't do Hazal. But Rabbi Lazar holds like the other Tanam. He argues and says that a Ariel is not Katame, and therefore he can do Hazal, and he would also be able to do the Kiddush as well. So Gemara then says, Omer Rabbi says, Yosef. He was talking about this discussion in the presence of Yosef, and he had the following question. He said, do we not have a brisa anywhere that says Tam and Ariel lists them together? If Rabbi Kiva is really true, that Tam and Ariel are the same dinim, shouldn't we have them lumped together? Shouldn't we find such a brisa that Ariel v'tame, we never have them mentioned together in such a way to prove Rabbi Kiva? Does that not indicate then that Rabbi Kiva is, we don't hold a Rabbi Kiva? Just, it's a little bit confusing how the Gemara says this. Look at Rashi. Rashi says around five narrow lines up, lo l'shtamet im isiv, it's really true. The Rabbi Akiva l'chol milei Ariel katame, mashrile. He always assumes that Ariel has the same exact halach as a tame. Lo l'shtamet tana ba'alma, the listener linen magav tumas ha'ariel v'tame, kadade. We never find anywhere that they lump together tame and Ariel l'gabe halach as a tumah. And the name of Rabbi Kiva, to suggest it's Rabbi Kiva. And midilo ashkachan hachi, from the fact that we don't find this anywhere, hachamishum dechumer deparahi, aval in maga tuma ariel mutter. From the fact we don't find anywhere in the gabe hilchos tuma, that an ariel and a tame who touch something, they're metame it, we only find that if a guy is tame, he's metame something. According to Bekiva, we should also have a guy who's an ariel should be metame something as well. We don't find anyone who says such a thing. But the fact that we don't have that must be that this is something unique to the lachas of paraduma only, and this is not the sheet of Rabbi Kiva that holds ariel and tame are lumped together. Rather, the special lachas that ariel is possible legabe paraduma. That's what the Gemara suggests. So that's what Rava says. Gemara says, what do you mean? We have a case here, v'hakatani, ha'ariel v'atame p'tur min ha'riyah, that both an ariel and tame are equally pater from doing the karban riyah because they cannot go into the base of Mikdash. So we see they are lumped together, legabi halachas of tuma going to the base of Mikdash. So the Gemara says, no, hasam mishum demais. The fact that we say that an ariel may not go to do karban riyah, it's not because an ariel is tame, rather it's mais, it's unacceptable. Unacceptable. Rashi says, demais, Leiros Bazar. It's inappropriate to present oneself as a Ariel in front of the Kadosh Baruch Hu, but not because of halachas of Tuma, and therefore we have no raya anywhere that any Mishnah holds like Rabbi Kiva that Ariel in fact is actually Tamei, and the reason why an Ariel may not do Paraduma has nothing to do with Tuma, rather it's a special Chumah that exists in the world of Paraduma. So we're going to stop here a little early because tomorrow's daf is very short, and these next 10 lines go deep into the next daf, so let's stop here. All right, everybody should have a wonderful day.